Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in this week on Abounding Grace. We are going back this week to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, and looking at this crucial section, Romans chapter 9, that explains what has happened to the nation of Israel. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, verse 6, explains this by asking the question, questioning what has happened to the promises of God. Have they failed regarding national Israel? And so he says in Romans 9, verse 6, it's not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. We're going to unravel that this week, and it's very important that we understand this because a lot of people have followed the notes in the Scofield Study Bible or looked at what men have taught them throughout the last 100 years and have followed that whole model and have failed to really address the crucial issue of what God is doing in terms of making Jew and Gentile one people, instead of two salvation plans, which was outlined years ago in the Scofield Study Bible. And I want to look at this week, honestly, looking at the scriptures and asking, what is God's clear message here regarding the nation of Israel? Well, I begin this week by looking and starting with something that happened in the book of Isaiah, where there we have the commissioning of this young prophet to take the word of God into the house of Israel. The prophet is Isaiah, and in this passage, we read that Isaiah, this is Isaiah 6, saw a glimpse of the glory of God. The seraphim appear, and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The doorposts of the house shake, and Isaiah cries out, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." Well, at this point, one of the seraphim flies to Isaiah with a live coal and touches his mouth. And the whole scene becomes a commissioning of Isaiah to take the word of God to a rebellious nation that has rejected the ways of the Lord. Now, what is so striking about the passage is what the Lord tells Isaiah to do. Now, listen carefully to this. And he said, "Go and tell this people," this is the nation of Israel, "go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their mouth and return and be healed." Wow, what a verse. Isaiah goes on to ask, "How long will this happen, Lord?" And the Lord says, "Until the cities are laid waste and the land left desolate." Now that's a pretty sobering prophecy against the nation of Israel. Come to the New Testament with Jesus. Jesus fulfills this very mission as a prophet also of judgment. In John chapter 12, this is John 12, beginning at verse 36, and I say a prophet of judgment, that Jesus was the great prophet foretold and promised all the way back to Moses. And here he continues in that prophetic line of announcing salvation, but also judgment to those who reject the message. So this is Jesus in John 12, verse 36. "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Now there's the issue. They did not believe in him. Why did they not believe in him? Here's the answer. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Now that's Isaiah 6. So Jesus is directly fulfilling that prophecy. They could not believe because God had blinded their eyes and hearts, and this was a judgment for rejecting the Messiah. Now, the question and frustration this raises in all of us as we study this and we ask all these questions regarding the nation of Israel is the very thing that Paul is addressing in Romans 9. Did God's promises then fail regarding Israel? He made all these promises. I mean, this judgment here is not falling upon the world, it's falling upon Israel. And of course, that was always the principle in the Bible. And Peter would rehearse that judgment first begins with the house of God. If the word is not having an effect in many of those to whom the word was spoken, what is the question that comes to our hearts? Is God unfaithful to his promises? He's the sovereign one. He's the one who's determined the end from the beginning. He's the one who holds the human heart in his hand. If he has set aside a people to himself, as he did with Old Testament Israel, the apple of his eye, and blessed them and made promises to them as the great sovereign God, why are they not coming to fruition? And why is God judging them? We think, what about God's promises to the nation of Israel? Were they in vain? We have this phenomenon in front of us today, and we have this problem, and it's a big issue, isn't it? Well, today Paul is answering this in Romans 9, and I'm going to maybe spend the next few weeks through this so that we really understand this, since there's so much confusion on this issue. Paul is answering this very real challenge, this very real dilemma that we want to understand. And so Romans 9 gives us the whole explanation of this. In verse 6, this is what we read. It is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Well, there it is. At this point, we have to understand the nature of the problem that Paul was facing. He's already labored in Romans for the first 8 chapters to show that justification by faith is for, now, I put this in quotes, whoever believes in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if one is a Jew or a Gentile. But if you read carefully through these chapters of Romans, you'll notice this reoccurring theme that these promises are equally given to the Gentiles. And you find this throughout Galatians, Ephesians, and the whole New Testament. Jesus said in John 10:16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd." There will be one flock and one shepherd. Did you hear that? Notice the emphasis on one. Those other sheep are the Gentiles. He's saying, you too have been given this inheritance, Gentiles. It was a marvelous truth that God was turning his head toward all the nations so that they too can be justified by faith alone through Christ alone. And that was always what was intended with the promises made to Abraham. In you, Abraham, all the Gentiles of the earth will be blessed. Nations as Gentiles. All the Gentiles will be blessed. It was always God's aim to include in those promises the Gentiles. But Paul knew at this point that this teaching would raise a lot of questions. What about all of God's promises to Israel? National Israel? We have those questions, don't we? It seems that Paul is saying that all these promises, if we study Romans carefully, all these promises are finding fulfillment with the opening of the door to the Gentiles. But didn't God make all these specific promises to Israel? Is the good news that Paul is preaching to the entire Roman world really compatible with the Old Testament promises? And that's the basis by which a lot of people have sort of devised, in the Scofield Study Bible, devised sort of two separate schemes, two salvation plans. Paul is answering these questions with the goal of showing that God is faithful to what he said. His promises are not in vain to Israel. How do we understand the fulfillment of these promises is the grand million-dollar question. He starts in verse 6. It is not as though the word of God has taken no effect. Now, why would he say this? Well, he rehearses here this in the first five verses, and this is where we'll begin today and pick up again throughout the rest of the week. I tell you the truth, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. This is a pastor's heart. My heart bleeds, he says. It's full of continual pain. I have this burning grief in my heart. In fact, this grief is so strong, he says in Romans 9:2, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Paul was a Jew, and his heart is bleeding. He has a bleeding, aching heart as he is mourning over his own countrymen. For them, if I could have them to be saved, I myself would become a curse for them. It's an amazing testimony to a pastor's heart. Why is his heart bleeding? He says, my heart aches because of the unbelief of the Jews. If it were possible to give my life for them to be saved, I would. And he rehearses everything they had, all that they had. He gives nine advantages that God's covenant people had. They're Israelites. They were that single nation that God had set apart in the earth that he loved. They had the greatest title to be Israel. It meant to be the people of the God of heaven and earth, and no other nation in the earth was more blessed than them. The great issue then is, why have so many rejected? That's what Paul's dealing with here, and he's going to explain that by saying, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. A true Jew, Paul said in Romans 2, is that of the heart, the circumcision of the heart in the spirit, which is not by the law, which is not by outward distinctives, but which is what that which God does in changing a heart. And all those who believe and rest in Jesus are considered to be true Israelites, the Israel of God. May we have the same faith as Father Abraham, and we will know indeed that we are children of the living God.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.